Ashley Crocker, welcome to the Feel Strong podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
I'm very happy to have you here. I think we've known each other for a couple years now. Does that sound right?
Yeah, a couple years, because you were in one of the first cohorts of ALP. Which one were you in?
I think I was two. I think I was the second one.
Okay, yeah.
I think you were the first.
I was in the first, and I knew you were either two or three, like soon behind me. So it has been a bit that we've known about each other now.
And you were ahead of me, and I thought that would also be potentially interesting to talk about. But your coaching and physically, like what you're doing and then how your career has changed and morphed has transformed so much in the past, 18 to 24 months?
Yeah.
Tell people what you do right now. Ashley, what do you do for a living?
So I work as an active life professional. I have my own business where I work with people virtually. And then I also am a mentor for the active life professional program. So I mentor coaches who are going through that program across their 13-month journey. So that's what I'm doing now.
That's a pretty dope career. Are all of your clients, your coaching clients, virtual now?
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. I get to talk to coaches, lots of different coaches during the week all the time. One of the more fun parts of my job right now. So many people want to take some of their business online. Mm-hmm. So many people have a dream of going 100% remote at some point. Mm-hmm. And have determined it's impossible, or they need to buy a million followers, or they just need to scale a little more and automate some templates. I hear all kinds of things mm-hmm. about the way people are going to take their business remote. Hey, Ashley, how do you become a remote-only coach?
Well, for me, the evolution was easier than most people, I think, because I was already working remotely when COVID happened. So I know that a lot of people rushed to go remote when COVID happened, but I was already doing it. I was not the fitness part, but I was doing my nutrition coaching remote. So I was working full-time remote already. And at that time, I was not taking a break from the fitness coaching stuff. And so I already had experience working with people remotely. And so for me, it was kind of a no-brainer as to like, oh yeah, I want most of my business to be remote. When I do branch off, it took a little bit of time to figure out how to do that with like programming and training people. But I feel like I've found my groove. So for me, it was a easier transition. And honestly, the way my business has grown has been almost fully like referrals. And so I really like people think that they have to have a bajillion clients or all these things. And really just if you do good work with your current clients and ask for referrals, those new people naturally trickle in.
That makes perfect sense. And just to hammer something that you said so people hear it, you started coaching, the way you built into an all remote coach is you started doing some remote coaching. Exactly. And then you got better at it. And then you got pretty good at it. And then you did more and more and more and more. And then it became obvious that this is the way you were going to take it. And you still had to keep flexing that muscle and flexing that muscle and flexing that muscle until you got really sharp at it.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And you bring up a good point is that a lot of people think that they have to just like have all these systems built out and all these different things before they actually do the thing. And it's like, no, you just have to start doing it and then refine and figure it out as you go. And I talk to a lot of coaches, you know, who are going through ALP who like will say the same things. And I'm like, you just have to start and then we'll figure it out and refine it as you go. And you learn so much and you do get better at it, but you're never going to figure it out if you don't at least just start doing something.
It's such an important principle. I was talking to our mutual colleague, Annika Crane, on a different podcast recording about this somewhat recently. And we were both just hammering the point of like, fail as fast as you can. How fast can you fail? Because that's how we're going to figure it out. Like, is the sculpture done? No. All right. Smash that piece off. Ooh. Okay. That wasn't the right piece. Which piece are we going to smash off now? Let's try this. Mm-hmm. Oh, we might need a slightly new piece of rock. That's okay. Like, you will not get to the point you want to get to, whatever that dream is, if you don't get started. And I think there's people who dream of sitting at home and being able to shift their schedule around the way they want and work from anywhere in the world. But it seems so far off, they can't imagine starting with one client who isn't very consistent and they don't do a perfect job with, and that's how they figure out the right way forward.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It all starts with the one. And I always tell people, your first five clients is always the hardest to get. And then after that, it's like a combination of like you getting better, like you getting some referrals, and it just growing from there. But the first five does feel like a grind. And that's just how it is.
The first five are a huge lift and such a big deal in a way that the, you know, and people come and go. But my, you know, my 400th client was muscle memory. Oh, yeah, you're the right person. You're a perfect fit. We're going to go here. Okay, this is what we do. No, this is what the price is. This is what you need. Okay, cool. Great. We're going to move forward because I'm completely, 99% confident that this is going to be the right thing and we know how to move them forward. The first one, I was like rehearsing that speech and how are we going to talk and how am I going to say that price with a straight face? And oh, no.
Yeah, exactly.
I get to talk to a lot of coaches and I am interested in your coaching, but you are a professional mentor.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. People don't know what that is. So
right.
As a career, you're a mentor. What does that mean?
So I like to think of being a mentor as a guide. You know, you take hands with a new coach and you're helping guide them along the way. And it's not like I'm telling them what to do or anything like that. It's more of like, give me a brain dump of like what's on your mind or what your goals are and where you want to end up. And I can help you reverse engineer a way to get there and what your next step should be. And then also having someone help you with like identifying the priority of what to focus on. Because a pattern that I see with a lot of new coaches is just getting bogged down and overwhelmed by the 50 bajillion things that you might need to do or want to pursue. But we just need to like, okay, simplify. Like, how can we make this simple? And then go from there. So that's kind of how I have experienced it being, and it's very similar to what we do with clients as coaches, you know, being their guide and all of that. It just on a different level. But
yeah, you're coaching coaches about coaching.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like what you're describing is really bringing a lot of clarity to people's situation, using your insights and experience and frankly, a lot of really good questions to help them unearth for themselves what the right way forward is.
Exactly. Exactly. Because a lot of coaches know what the right thing to do is or what the right answer is, but they need help identifying and like helping pull it out of them. And someone almost to be like, yes, that is the right thing. How do we get there? Or how do we break it down? Like, how can we actually make this happen? And the answer is always inside of us. Like, I always tell coaches that, like, your gut always knows. So trust your gut. And, the support along the way is huge, though.
Well, it's incredible. And the level of support that the mentors at Active Life gives is one of the many things that I think makes it really special.
Mm-hmm.
I just had six questions I wanted to ask at the same time. So I'm sorting through.
You're good.
Which way I want to go. What drew you to wanting to take this job on? Because I can imagine lots of people want to work for companies that they admire. I could imagine lots of people getting this job offer and having a ton of imposter syndrome and or not wanting to do that kind of work and not wanting to, if they understand it, and please correct me anywhere I'm wrong, but all right, I'm going to mentor coaches. I'm going to have really uncomfortable conversations all the time for a living.
Mm-hmm.
I get to see some people on their best day. It's usually not that though. They usually didn't come because everything's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good question. Okay. So I have been in the coaching space for 10 years now, and I have been wanting to get more involved with like coaching coaches for a couple years now. I would say probably for like 3 years now, I'm like, oh, it will be awesome to help new coaches coach better because I've had so much experience and I've learned a lot, and I just have wanted to be a part of raising the standard of the coaching industry because there's a lot of shit coaches out there who really don't know what they're doing. and so it's been on my mind for a few years now to want to help coaches actually coach better, because there is a huge gap with that, because there's like, okay, you become certified, or like there's a lot of business coaches, but like who's helping the coaches coach better? Not many people. That's like not too much of a thing. And I just think that's so huge, because it's like you're not going to keep your coaching business or keep your clients if what you're doing is not excellent and top notch. And so it was kind of on my mind. And then going through the whole ALP program and that whole journey and like how my career evolved, it made me want to like give back and like help other coaches actually do the thing that they want to do. Because like before I went through ALP, I had tried to start my own business before and it didn't work because I didn't know how to sell or, you know, there were so many gaps. Like I knew how to coach, but there were so many gaps in like my communication skills and how to actually sell somebody and all these things. And going through ALP taught me all the skills I needed to really do this thing for real. And it was kind of just like a no-brainer for me. Like, oh yeah, of course I want to do that. And you're talking about uncomfortable conversations, and I laugh because like that is a lot of what I have, like asking a lot of really hard questions, because this stuff is not easy. In the beginning, we're all excited to get going. Yes, you know, maybe even that lasts the first 3 months. But then like reality starts to set in and shit starts to get really hard. And then it's like you have to keep going. And it's a lot of personal development too, which is a whole nother journey. You know, you don't just learn about coaching. You have to develop as a person if you want to be successful. And that's a lot of really hard, really hard stuff too. And so that's like a whole nother can of worms that we have to go through, is like resistance to doing social media is like something that I talk about with people a lot. A lot of people want remote clients and they want to have this partially online business too, but they don't want to show up on social media. They don't want to show their face. They don't want to talk about what they do. There's like so much resistance there. And so that's another fun thing, is to like, why? And it comes down to fear a lot of the times. And it's like some other stuff, but those are some things that come to mind too. But that I love it, because I know that I'm making such an impact on their life and I'm helping them build the life that they want.
I want to tie something together that you just said, because I think it's really smart. And I think I'd like you to explain it to the people a little bit. Mm-hmm. You are helping people with their personal development by getting them to post on social media. Now, there's someone out there who hears that and is like, no, you just have to like, you just make the stupid post and not like it. But why is changing part of who someone is necessary to get them to show up in that way?
Really good question. A lot of times it comes down to confidence. either confidence in themselves, confidence in what they do, confidence that they're good enough to like give post on social media and stuff. And so that's where like personal development comes into it. Cause it's like, okay, why don't you want to do this? And then a lot of times it's like, I'm scared of what people are going to think. I'm scared that I'm not going to be good enough. I'm scared that I haven't been doing this long enough. I'm scared that I haven't helped enough people. And so you just kind of keep peeling back the onion with people and figuring out like, what is it for you? Like, why are you so scared to be seen? A lot of people are scared to be seen and take up space. And that can either tie back to experiences when they were younger or maybe getting made fun of or family stuff or whatever. And that's where the coach has to do a lot of inner work and say like, okay, well, how can I overcome this? Or how can I reframe my mindset around this? Because this is a block behind why I'm not actually like doing what needs to be done to give value or get clients. And the same that can be said for like networking with like people in your community too, like other providers, same type of thing. And so that's how the personal development kind of ties into it.
That makes perfect sense. And I think certainly coaches listening, but I bet everyone listening, it's easy to understand how a coach would work on this with a client. Right. Oh, you're so we've determined that you have these function and aesthetic goals for your body. We both agree that it's a really good idea. Yes, we have the perfect exercise program and a great nutrition program. Your sleep habits suck. So we need a bedtime and a waking time, and we're going to try and make those really consistent. And that part starts failing. And that will lead to a conversation where, you know, we end up talking about, well, they stay up late because that's when the shouting finally stopped at home and they actually find the most comfort between 12 and 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely a conversation I've had that started with, I think I just want to be a little stronger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, it's easy and normal, and especially with the Instagram business gurus out there, for people to potentially come to someone like you and say, give me the best social media strategy and tell me what to do. And you end up talking about, you know, family barbecues when they were 7 years old. And that's the reason why they won't just talk into a stupid camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
How do you build confidence in somebody? Because that's something you mentioned a moment ago. It's a question of confidence. There's plenty of people listening right now. Everyone just perked up. Now this is just frustration. Now we're just teasing them because you're about to answer the question and I'm taking up too much room. There's people saying, all I want is more confidence. How does a professional mentor build confidence?
Well, something that comes to mind that I've done with people before is having them reflect on what their strengths are as a coach. Like, what do they feel like they do really well with clients? And having them list out those qualities and characteristics of themselves that they feel like they are really good at. And I'll have them write those things down and put them in a place or multiple places where they see them every day and read over them and constantly remind themselves like what they are good at. Because a lot of times coaches are really hard on themselves and we hyperfixate on all the things we need to be better at, which is good to an extent. But when it comes to like building more confidence, like we also need to think about those things we are doing really well. And so that's something I've done with people before. And then also asking them about like, tell me about some client success stories that you've had or you currently have, like how have you actually helped people before? And what that can do is remind them of like, oh, wow, like I have helped people in a really meaningful way before. And So that's something. Another thing that I will suggest to people is, like, every time that you read through a client check-in and have a client win, or your client texts you a win that they've had, or maybe you write down a major win after a session, screenshot those things and put them into an album in your phone. And you go and read over those at least once a week. And what that does, I mean, is basically the same thing as, like, reminding you of, like, oh, hey, like, I am getting people results. I am good at this. And it's just a matter of remembering those things. And now it's not to say that, like, we're going to get to a point where we're like, oh, I don't need to get any better at all. But for the person that's really hard on themselves, this is an often overlooked and necessary thing to start to build confidence. And then the next piece of it is just starting to actually do the thing. So, like, whatever it is, if we're talking about posting on social media or having more, needing to have more conversations to lead to more potential clients, is, like, let's just start doing it. You know, start small. Like, if you're not doing anything right now, maybe set, like, a small target of, like, a couple conversations a week or a couple of posts a week. Get good at that, and then we can increase it from there. But what that does is, like, the more you do it, the easier it's going to get. And so you have to start with, like, what do I feel like I can realistically do and stick to now? And then build upon that. And so a lot of times what I see is, like, you know, through that, like, mental work I previously talked about, and then, like, taking some action, over time, we start to see results and build that confidence muscle.
That's awesome. So we're, I pictured post-it notes. I don't know if you said post-it notes, but writing down the things they're good at and the things I like about themselves, putting mm-hmm. them in places that they have to see it every day, deliberately reading it as a reminder. And for anyone out there who just heard it, said, "Well, that sounds like hippie. I'm not going to do stuff like that." I don't think you have the guts to do it.
Oh yeah.
Anyone who pushes back against something like that, try it. Try it for a week and tell me you don't like it. The collecting previous wins in an album. My album is called For a Rainy Day. I love it.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, that's what I don't go to it as much now when things are going great. I go to it when things are bad. Mm-hmm. When something goes absolutely sideways, I'm like, hold on. We're not a complete failure. Let's check out the album. Oh, right. I bring good and value to the world. This is just a particularly hard moment. And then get out of your way and do the damn thing, actually taking action. And this is not a quibble, because I think this is what you were saying, but I want to highlight something. You said, you know, you can start small. And I would add, start small but meaningful, because I find that people, there is a problem where people are kind of like pushing their timeline back and back and back before they actually take action. And they will find the smallest thing to get started and do a tiny bit and then wait 3 weeks to see if that worked. And if it's not big enough, then it won't work. Like, I know a little bit about your athletic background. And if I had, you know, an amazing program for Ashley, and you went in and you curled a 5-pound dumbbell, one rep, and then you went home. is it the right way forward? Yeah, it might be. But you're going to get frustrated and quit before we actually get to the point where you're getting an effective dose. Right. So what is the smallest effective dose that we can start with? It's probably not sending one DM on Instagram. It might be having 10 conversations with people you know that you think you can help. And making sure at least two of those are conversations you're a little scared to have.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's a good add-on there.
Mm-hmm. How do you help people define success? Because earlier you described, and I really like it, that you aren't shoving people on a template and producing a bunch of identical coaches. You're guiding them and helping them unearth the thing that they want to do, and then giving them the tools and skills and guidance to get there. And that becomes really hard, whether you're coaching clients or coaching coaches, if you don't have a really clear idea of what the goal is, like, what is actually success? How do you help people figure out that thing is so they can start working toward it?
Well, just seeing what they say when that comes up. Like, what I'll often do is have them think of like a year or two from now, like typically like 2 to 3 years, like a good timeline. Like, what do you want your life to look like in 2 to 3 years? And seeing what comes up. And like a lot of times it's have X amount of in-person clients, a little bit of online clients, and making X amount of money. And so with the financial target, okay, we want to be making X amount of money per month, and we kind of reverse engineer, okay, we need to have X amount of personal training clients in person mixed with, you know, let's say like 10 remote clients to make like this $5,000 a month or whatever it is. And so starting from there and then reverse engineering, like, okay, how much do we have now? Where's the gap? And then seeing like, okay, how much do we need to fill the gap? Where do we need to fill the gap? And then creating a plan around how we're going to do that. But success is going to look different for everybody. Like everybody, like some people want to work fully remotely, fully online. And then we have to, you know, get creative with like, okay, what are going to be options for your services? Because that's going to look a little bit different than if you were also doing some in person. And so really it just depends like what kind of life do they want to have is different for everybody, and just helping them reverse engineer whatever the dollar amount is and figuring out where does that fit in and then going from there.
Do you ever question people's definition of success? Like if I come on, oh, great, Ashley's my mentor, I win. Yeah, I want $150,000 a year. I want to be completely remote. And I don't want to have more than 30 clients.
Mm-hmm. So you're asking like, oh, okay. I see what you're saying. So then I would say, okay, why? Why do you want, why do you want to do that? Why do you want that to happen? Like, what's that going to mean to you? Cause you bring it, this brings up, but like a good point of like, having a why behind those, more definable goals. Like, yes, I want to make X amount of money. I want my schedule to look like this, blah, blah, blah. Okay, why? How is that going to improve your life? Like, how's that going to make you feel? What's the real reason behind you wanting this life? Because, and the reason that's important is because when shit gets hard, you're going to need to remember why you're even working towards this in the first place. And that brings up another thing is like, when people are feeling good and like, you know, want, have this like crystal clear vision of what they want, and we uncover that why, like, okay, because I want to spend a lot of time with my family. I want to not have to worry about money. I want that financial freedom. Like, I want to be able to give my kids a life that I never had. All right, that's awesome. Let's write those things down. And again, with the post-it note idea, I love these reminders if you haven't told. But posting that in the same idea, it's like you need to remember that that's like actually why you're doing this, because there are going to be days that where you're going to want to quit and you're going to like be like, oh, what's the point? Like, I can't do this. Like, this is too hard. And that's when you have to remember like why you're even working towards it in the first place. And it's so important.
It's a brilliant answer. And yes, I was kind of baiting you in that direction. I admit it. But it was when I hear those goals, you know, if some at least once a week, I talk to a coach, I want to make 10K a month. Mm-hmm. And I just shrug my shoulders. I'm like, all right, we can, that's, you can do that. It's not that hard. Why? What's the point? Mm-hmm. Well, I just like 10K a month would be awesome. It is. It's totally awesome. It's fun. I do that. Why do you want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that would be success. Like, okay, so we need to nail this thing down. If I make you $9,500 a month, we will have failed, correct? Well, no. I went, okay. Then could it be nine? Well, this is a slightly antagonistic way of getting to that why of tell me what's actually important to you. And suddenly we're back to having hard conversations of, I've worried about where my next meal is going to come from. And I never want to get back to that place again. I don't want to make sure as a father, I'm providing that, a situation where it will never happen. I've determined that this kind of income and this kind of time lets me show up and support people in the way I want to. Oh, now I'm interested. Now right. You have my attention and I believe you, which leads us neatly to the next thing. When shit gets really hard, how do you deal with coaches, because you're mentoring coaches, who aren't compliant?
Ooh.
They're only hard questions today. Did I not lead with that? We're only doing hard questions.
This is really good. It's a really good question. So this happens quite a bit. And so how I help unearth this answer is talking to them about what do they think is their roadblock. And usually it's like a lack of taking action, whether that's like we're not pursuing getting more clients and that's what we need to be doing, or we're behind in the curriculum and we're not moving forward because we feel frozen. And for the people who don't know, ALP is a 13-month program. And so it's fast paced, it's long, and it's hard, and it's easy to get behind. And anyways, so whether it's like with the coursework or not taking action with getting clients, is asking, what do you think is keeping you stuck? Like, what is the thing that is keeping you stuck? And sometimes, well, a lot of times some sort of mindset thing. Like, I feel like I don't know where to go from here. Like, or I'm not sticking to my schedule, or I'm not having enough conversations because either I don't have leads or whatever. There's usually something that's keeping them frozen, but it comes back to asking those hard questions about like, what's the real reason behind not taking action and staying stuck?
Interestingly, at no point did you say they're not good enough or they're the wrong person to actually accomplish this, mm-hmm. or it turns out that I'm asking them to do something that I don't think they're capable of.
Yep, exactly. And it's funny because a lot of times the coach themselves will be like, maybe I'm not cut out for this, or maybe I just can't do this. Maybe this is proof that I'm not even in the right career. Like, I can't do this. And as a mentor, I have to help them take a more bird's eye view and say, okay, I understand, like, your feelings are valid, but also that's not actually true. We don't really have any concrete proof that says that, like, you should just give up, or this isn't the right career for you, or you're just not cut out for this. But like, we don't have any proof of that. And if we come back to and remind them, like, okay, we identified this is why you're even doing this in the first place, and this is your vision. Like, does that still feel true? Like, is this still what you want to pursue? A lot of times it's yes. And it's like, okay, well, this is just a bump in the road. And a lot of times reminding them that more seasoned coaches and people ahead of them also still have days like that helps them feel better too. Because for some reason, we all think that everyone else is just killing it, doing great, feeling good all the time. And that's not true. Like, we all go through the ups and downs. And that's so important to remember, too. We're not just some alien on an island because we're having a bad day. Like, we all deal with that and all have those thoughts of like, well, maybe I shouldn't do this anymore.
That's several points very well made. And it sounds obviously hard to go through, and I've certainly gone through plenty of moments like that, but that kind of guidance could make it a lot easier. That idea that people aren't alone in these things, I think, is mm-hmm. very powerful. As mm-hmm. someone, you know, as a starting a small business and trying to grow a thing, I went through all kinds of time when I felt very alone, especially trying to grow a kind of business that was very different than any other trainers around me or things like that. I was deliberately not trying to be them. Not because mm-hmm. the thing they do isn't great. I want to do something else that I think mm-hmm. for me is better, and I'm going to serve different people in a different way. And feeling like there is no guideline. I'm doing this whole new thing. It's all brand new, and I'm completely alone, and I'm shouting into a void. It's easy to feel like that, and also to get really micro about your wins and losses in a way that isn't helpful. And if you take a step back and say, oh, actually, I've only been trying this thing for 3 months. Basically, no one's successful in 3 months. And if I was hugely successful in 3 months, I wouldn't even know how to handle it. This is actually what the nurturing and growth process looks like. Like the seedling has just popped its head above the dirt. And now we have a ton of work to do to make sure it grows up strong and healthy. And it's work we have to do every single day. But yeah, it doesn't, that's not an oak tree. That's a stupid little green stem. This is where all, this is all, where all the good work starts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It takes time, especially good things that are going to be sustainable take time. Just like we tell our clients as coaches that they're probably not going to see the huge transformation they want to see in 2 or 3 months. No, it's going to take longer than that. Same thing goes for business and what you want your coaching career to look like. It's going to take time and it's going to take work.
Keeping people going, and I'm about to ask a question I don't know the answer to, but I do this. So with my clients, I deliberately build in small wins a lot. Sometimes daily, certainly weekly, especially if we're working on something hard toward a big, hard goal, whether it's, you know, movement recovery or something around pain or function, like those things that often take kind of weeks, months, years to work on. I will try very hard to put things in that feel like a win. I wonder if someone's working toward a big, scary goal, I want to be a remote coach and make $100,000 a year so I can give my family the life that I dream of giving them. I currently have zero clients. Is that something that is part of your mentorship, or does that resonate with you? Like finding ways for them to win when they just said something that you're like, well, that's, if we're great, that's 2 to 3 years out. And that would be pretty stinking impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. So what the smaller wins along the way, what those can look like is, like, if you have zero clients, okay, let's get your first client and let's give them really good service and make sure that we provide a really great product. And so we'll focus on getting that first client and making sure that that's really good. And like a lot of times what I'll do with the coaches in ALP is like, they're new to the assessment and testing process. Like I'll have them like, send me their assessment. I will help you. Like, let's figure out what their strength testing should look like based on this assessment and their goals. And what that does is a lot of times they give the coach confidence, like, okay, like, you know, I've got some input from Ashley, like I'm going to do this with this person, and just kind of, again, kind of holding their hand and helping guide them, not necessarily telling them what to do, but saying like, hey, this is what I would look at. That can be really helpful with building that confidence muscle, especially with your first client. And so we focus on that. And then as far as like coaching stuff and getting better at coaching is like them having a client win and like, oh, my client told me their back didn't hurt at all when they went on a 2 mile walk. And like, and a lot of times they'll just brush past it. And I'm like, hey, well, like, let's celebrate that. Like what you're doing with them is working and the client is seeing those results outside of the gym, which is exactly what we want. So let's like make sure we focus on this and like celebrate it a little bit. But yeah, I'm always looking for those like little wins that a lot of times, so they might like brush over, because like at the beginning of our calls, I'll always be like, okay, like give me an update. So as they're like telling me things, I'm kind of like making mental note, maybe jotting something down, like, oh, I want to like touch back on that. Make sure, let's point it out. Because like you said, like same that we do with clients, like we want to make sure that we are identifying, okay, yeah, we're doing good. We're having small wins. We are moving forward towards the thing. And if it's not client related, sometimes it looks like, oh, I did spend, you know, 2 hours on my coursework last week, like I wanted to. That's awesome. Like, that's what we said that we wanted to focus on. Like, let's celebrate that we're doing it. So that's usually what that looks like.
How tailored is each mentee's journey under you? Meaning, because we established that, you know, you have some number of mentees and they're all looking to build a slightly different coaching practice in some way, right? Like there's someone who's in the garage and there's someone who's in a CrossFit gym. And there's someone who owns a commercial gym and there's someone who wants to be only online. And they're all starting in different places, going through this, you know, identical curriculum. How do you, or do you kind of tailor their journey and their benchmarks for each of those people?
Yeah. So even though they're all going through the same program, I would say it's still very personalized in terms of like what our meetings look like, because the coaches that come in, they're coming from different points of like knowledge in their coaching career, I guess is the best way to put it. Like we have some coaches that come in that this is a completely new career and we're doing a career change and we've never even written a program before. And so that's obviously gonna like look really different than somebody who's maybe been a coach for 6 years. Like they are learning new concepts, but like they don't need to go as much over as like the technical stuff as that like brand new newbie coach might. They might already have some existing clients. So then that's going to look different in terms of like they're already making some money, whereas the new coach, they're probably making like $0. And so even though the curriculum is the same, our meetings, our benchmarks, and they're like what we're focusing on is all different. Just like, you know, with the clients that we have, like we might all put them through similar testing, but what their program is going to look like, it's going to be dependent on what they've got going on, their goals, their life, same sort of thing. Like all the coaches like have different lives too. Some people have kids, some people don't. Like all that dynamic just all looks very different.
That makes perfect sense. I wonder, I have kind of a two-prong question, but the first prong of it is, I hear this all the time as a coach, some version of, I need to get a little more fit. I need to get more in shape. I need to, you know, get back to walking and carry out my nutrition. Then I'll hire a coach. Mm-hmm. And then I'm, I don't want to make that investment. I don't want to bet on myself in this way. I don't actually want to jump in. I'm going to do a bunch of work in the background before I get going. How much work do you think someone needs to do before it's the right time for them to hire a mentor, whether it's an active life mentor or in some other mentor?
I'm so glad you brought this up. because the answer is you need to hire help. A lot of times what I'll tell people is like, I was a coach for 7 years before I came into like the active life ALP sphere. And one of my first thoughts when I learned how to do even just the assessment, I was like, I wish I would have had this when I was a new coach. Like, because everything just would have been so different. And so if you are a brand new coach and you're thinking about going into this program or even ALP or any other program, like the answer is you should do it if it aligns with your long-term goals. And the thing about investments, investing in yourself and in your business, you're going to constantly have to do that your whole career if you want to be successful. And so you might as well get used to it. you're going to need help. You're going to need support. Like we've talked a lot about staying focused when things are hard and like having that support, having support makes all the difference. And not feeling alone makes all the difference too. And so the sooner that you can hire help for yourself, the better. And like I said, like you're going to have to constantly do that. Like, you know, even if you go through ALP, you're going to have to hire a help, like mentor again in the future, probably. Like there's every new level that you want to get to is going to have a new set of problems and you're going to need a support system to get there. And the most successful people have mentors, have support, and have help. And so I think that you're actually costing yourself more money to not spend the money to get help. And I know you've been a coach a long time too, and I would think that you would agree with me.
I couldn't agree more. And I tell people all the time, because you know, I came into ALP with a pretty established business. I had a bunch of clients. Mm-hmm. It was doing a thing. I thought of myself as successful, and I was really after some pretty specific skills. Mm-hmm. And having gone through it, and especially the personal development and guidance and mentorship aspects of it, just reflecting back something you said, like, I could have saved so much time. Like,
yes,
I built up some of those skills and some of this stuff, but it cost another 6 years.
Like, exactly. What, and imagine how much money you missed out on too. And
that's I know, Ashley.
Don't think about it too
hard. I'm aware. Yeah. I did it the very hard way.
Exactly.
Don't do that. That was the wrong way and took forever. And what is your time worth? That's a question I ask to people on a regular basis, especially in sales calls. If they're like, okay, well, I'm going to go get a couple years experience and then I'm going to get going. Yep. It's like 100%. I just want to make sure we're really clear. You just said that 2 years of your life is not worth this much money. The money is literally worth more than the next 2 years of your life and putting off success. And that's, if that's true, that's fine. I just want to make sure that's where we are. Mm-hmm. And usually it's ringing silence.
They're like, wait, I didn't think
of that. No, said, I didn't think so. And another thing you just said, like, you should get used to asking for help. This is part of asking for help. It's not always easy. And some part of it is, yep, I believe I've built all of my trusts and I believe this is probably the right way and it still feels scary and in we go. And then I have to show up and I have to communicate and I have to try and do the things my mentor asked me to do. And when I don't and they ask me why it didn't work, I have to actually think about it. And that's how you actually build success.
Yeah, exactly. When you put it like that. But yeah, it's so true. And it's like, wouldn't you want to get there faster? And yeah, you might have to, like, be in the hole a little bit money-wise for a bit, but you're going to get out of that hole a lot quicker if you have support rather than just spinning your wheels, not knowing what to do, remaining broke. You know, because it is hard to make a career out of what we do. It is.
Yeah.
And especially if you don't have a higher level skill set. So it's like, how long do you want to, I don't know. I was going to say suffer, but that sounds a little, sounds a little intense, but it's kind of true.
Well, it's hard or building burnout or building resentment or things like that. We talk a lot about how fitness professionals should be able to make great careers. And sometimes we forget to say the next part out loud, which is doing world-class work and changing people's lives. You have to be able to deliver staggering value in order to be able to do all of the other stuff. If you're actually a $19 an hour coach and you're delivering $19 an hour results, you're never going to get $150 an hour, and nor should you.
I was going to say, and why should you if you're actually delivering that?
You should either level up your skills if you're open to it or get out, because frankly, you're probably doing more damage than good.
Yeah.
Now, the other prong of my two prong mentorship question, you touched on a little bit. For someone out there who is just crushing it, they're incredibly successful. They're doing really well. They're just, if it comes across their desk, they nail it and it's perfect. That person doesn't think they need mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they need mentorship?
Well, I would ask my follow-up question to that person would be like, are you happy with your life? Are you happy with your work-life blend? Because I know there's no work-life balance, but like, I don't know. I would say that like, everybody needs support. Even if you have reached a certain level of success, like, is that the thing? Like, are you happy with your money, the hours you've worked, your relationships, all of that? If everything is perfect, then I would say like, well, 10 years from now, what do you want it to be like? Do you want it to be the same? And like, a lot of times it's not. I don't know. I feel like the best coaches are constantly evolving to like want a new level of success. because that evolving is necessary, especially in the world that we live in. And so I would just have some follow-up questions and challenge that a little bit, because I think everybody does need support and everybody kind of has something they're like, oh, I wish that like this would be a little bit better, or I wish that like just like this thing could change or something like that.
Yeah, when I hear someone say like, nope, everything's great, I'm totally happy, this is perfect, everything's 100%, I get a little bit worried that we're also sinking into complacency, whether or not we realize it. And if we've, you know, gone into neutral and are just coasting down the road now, then you can kind of hear that train coming. Not to mix my metaphors too hard, but so if you just keep doing this, what does that look like in 5 years? Like, well, I hope it looks exactly the same. Okay. How do you think you're going to feel if you're doing exactly the same thing 5 years from now? You might feel great, but like, let's nail that down and make sure it's actually the truth.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And or your definition of success might change. I mean, anyone, I've had a number of clients for a very long time, for years, and it is very normal to watch people's goals change.
100%.
I want to lose weight. No. I want to be stronger. No. I want to be a competitor. No. I want to do long hikes with my family. No. I want to show up as a father. No. I actually want to be like an amazing track coach for my kids' high school team. Like, oh, we started losing weight. Like, what? I don't care about that anymore. I know you don't. I just want to make sure that we're redefining your success as we go to make sure we're heading in the right place. Because your dream 10 years ago may not be your dream right now. And that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
It's so interesting. What do you think people should know before they become a mentee for any kind of mentor? Or maybe, yeah, I'll ask that question and then I have a slightly better question, but I'm okay with that one. What do you think people should know about becoming a mentee?
That we're probably going to get a lot closer than you think we are. And I say that because a lot of people come into ALP thinking like they're going to gain this amazing skill set, in which they are, but they're also going to have to do a lot of personal development, which we've touched on a little bit. Like for example, like one of my newer mentees, she's like 3 months in, I think. She just recently said, if I actually knew what this journey was going to look like personal development wise, I don't know if I would have signed up. And with her, we've been doing a lot of that confidence work, that confidence building, and like getting to the like deeper level of like, okay, what's actually holding you back from wanting to show up, from wanting to put yourself out there, from wanting to do X, Y, Z. And so I think that's important to know. Lots of personal development stuff. And then also it's going to be hard and it's going to take a lot of work. It's like when you sign up to get help, you signed up to do the work, not for someone to do the work for you. You're not going to get the results just by signing up. You're going to have to be in the dirt, actually taking action and doing the thing to get that life that you want. And just because you have a mentor or a coach to help you doesn't mean that's your results right there. That's where the work is just beginning.
Yeah, it's not. People often, somewhat often, I find that people, especially when they've bought something fairly high ticket, they bought an expensive mentorship, they paid tens of thousands of dollars to join a mastermind, they got someone's, you know, super high priced one-on-one virtual coaching, that they pay that money and it's scary and they figure out how to finance or whatever. And then some of them are like, ah, I did it. Like, whoa. You haven't done anything. You bought a ticket. You need to take the ride, and actually, and taking the ride is actually a terrible example. As you said, now you need to do the work. You just gained entry into getting all of the tools. But not like, oh, here you go. Here's the whole tool shed and here's directions on how to do it. And there's a field.
Yeah. You got to go in the field.
Yeah. But I'm not going to, I collected all these tools and they're exactly the right tools. And I left you really clear directions and I'm going to watch and make sure you're doing it the right way, but I can't actually do this for you. And mm-hmm. sometimes people think that, and I've run into this a bunch where they put the money down and then they're like, I'm done. Right. Same thing with coaching. People pay mm-hmm. for very high price coaching. They're like, great. Now I'm stronger and more functional and healthier. It's like, no, super bad news. You still have to show up 3 times a week.
Uh-huh. Yep. That's exactly right.
What makes a good mentee?
A good mentee?
Yeah.
Being coachable. I think being coachable is one of the biggest things. If you can be coachable and what I mean by that is like being open to feedback, open to change, like willing to do the things that we talk about, then you're going to do a good job because you're willing to change. But like, if you're not willing to change, you're not willing to actually do the thing, and you're, you know, week after week, you're just not doing it, then we're going to run into problems. But if you're coachable, willing to do the work and, you know, do what we talk about, then success is inevitable if you're putting in the reps and putting in the work. I think that's one of the biggest things.
That's kind of beautiful. If you can be coachable, success is inevitable.
Yeah.
And if you're not, you're going to stay exactly where you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ashley, this has been an absolute delight. People are going to want to reach out and talk to you. Tell them where to find you.
Thank you for having me. You can find me on Instagram. AshleyCrocker127 is my handle. My website is embracestrength.co if you want to look at coaching stuff. But I'm on the gram. So send me a message, reach out.
I love it. Ashley, thank you so much for coming on Feel Strong.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Feel Strong Fitness Podcast. Please subscribe and leave a 5-star rating if you have the time. That makes a really big difference. If you have questions, you want details, DM us on Instagram at FeelStrongFit. There's more information on the website at feelstrong.me. We value effectiveness, individualization, and empathy. See what it's like to have an expert in the field really listen, hear what you need, and build you the perfect program to get you where you want to go. Today is the perfect time to get started. Reach out.